Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Blade Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by 319 Wine and Cheese, best wine and cheese, best bar all together in Tallahassee, Florida, and presented by American Fighting System. Check out the movement. We are bringing back America. Proud to be an American. It is boxing mixed with traditional wrestling. Can't beat it. It's the best culture for fighting out there. Check out the movement. Join the movement and become an American Fighting System, you know, fighter, basically. An American fighter. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bloody Knuckle Show. I am R.E. the Guido Cheeto, the one and only Mr. Bloody Knuckle Show himself. And I am here tonight by myself. Late night show, kind of sporadic. I was just checking out the embedded between Cruz and Dillashaw, a little trash talking, that kind of thing. And it reminded me that we got a really good UFC coming up. And I have not done a show to break it down. Then I looked at the upcoming boxing schedule. You have David Haye coming back this weekend against a no-name Australian, but it's used for the heavyweight division in boxing. And we also have Deontay Wilder versus Split Scott, or however you say his name. Very tough opponent, probably Wilder's toughest opponent since Bermain Stiverne, and a guy who can highly likely upset Wilder this weekend. First heavyweight title fight in Brooklyn. That's exciting in, you know, a long, long time. And a second heavyweight title fight, the IBF title, which is stripped from Tyson Fury for taking the Vladimir Klitschko rematch. I know boxing is just how things go, but for some reason we have Charles Martin, 6'6", Southpaw American. He looks pretty good, pretty good prospect. He will be fighting from Poland, Glasgow. I'm sorry, I have to, you know, look up where exactly he is from. But I am from a cold Tallahassee, Florida today in the studio. Just getting ready to talk a little MMA and talk a little bit of boxing. Personally, I am excited about this Cruz Dillashaw fight. I haven't seen as much hype as I thought I would see on it. But right now I'm pulling up the card, so excuse me saying I'm a lot. But we have basically in the main event.
This main event, free on live TV, is better than, you know, some pay-per-view main events. It was just, you know, it's a rivalry, it's a title fight, and it's in a division where you know it's going to be a pretty damn exciting fight. Trying to get this card up. Excuse me, folks. But you have Dominic Cruz, a guy coming back off a 3-year layoff, and then he had one fight, I think it was. And, you know, he looked like an unstoppable force. He was champion. Going against TJ Dillashaw, who has become kind of the new poster boy of the division, the unstoppable one. He's gone through a little bit of controversy, leaving Uriah Faber's gym and going to Dwayne Ludwig's gym. Now they're talking about Uriah Faber is going to fight the winner of this fight. Somehow Uriah Faber always ends up on top when it comes to these things. Somehow Uriah Faber has once again, and I got to say, as much talent as this division was supposed to have, I've only really seen four guys in this division. I've seen Uriah Faber, I've seen TJ Dillashaw, I've seen Burrell, and I've seen Dominic Cruz. And outside of this, you know, UFC, I've seen Joe Warren, I've seen Dantes, I've seen Galagov, I've seen Homeboy fights for 1FC, and that's about all. I don't see a ton of star-making or guys that are making a huge difference. There's that one dude who looks homeless. I forget his name. I don't even know if he's still in that division. He got a lot of hype when he was coming over.
But in my opinion, they probably should have kept these two divisions together, 135 and 125. I know DJ's a good champion. I know Dillashaw is a very exciting champion, but I just don't see the competition. Now, Dillashaw, this is his chance. He has Dominick Cruz. This could be a huge rivalry, not only for this fight, but for a couple fights to come. You know, if this fight is good enough, which Dillashaw has a very aggressive style, but he's not going to get over-aggressive. He's going to box. Cruz is just a footwork magician. If you like guys like Floyd Mayweather, you'll like Dominick Cruz. We'll see if Dillashaw may be landing some shots on him, because I think Cruz, you know, is not going to be as good as he was against Mizugaki in his last fight. He's had a huge layoff. And I think Dillashaw is going to be able to land shots early. Is that going to put Cruz out of his game plan a little bit? Are either of these guys going to be attempting takedowns? Are we going to see more of an MMA kickboxing match? Or is this going to turn into a boring five-rounder of Cruz basically running around point fighting and Dillashaw not being able to land on the big time? I'm hoping for this fight just to turn into an exciting, lots of scrambles, Dillashaw landing big bombs, Cruz getting huge counter strikes. That's what I'm hoping for. But anyway, you see that this division isn't even remarkable because it's on Fox Sports 1, a heavyweight championship or a championship fight. But unlike Mighty Mouse, at least Dillashaw not only had Barao, who was considered, you know, a top guy, top pound for pound guy. He got to fight him twice. In my opinion, Brown is very overrated. But now he has Cruz. And not only does he have that, but after the potential to fight his mentor in a fight that could be huge on pay-per-view, Uriah Faber. And if Cruz wins, then you finally, and I don't think it will be a pay-per-view, that will change the dynamic. But you would finally, I think Uriah Faber and Dillashaw should fight anyway. But you do have the potential of Cruz and Uriah Faber finally finishing their rivalry. They both have fought, they fought twice. They both have won one time. To be fair, Faber beat them all the way back in 2007 in the WEC. But Uriah Faber makes it out on top again. But I love Dominick Cruz talking the trash coming into this fight. And it's clear that Dillashaw, he is a Twitter trash talker. A guy who can get on Twitter, talk all the trash about Conor McGregor. But when it comes to, you know, face-to-face, Cruz is making him look like an idiot. And Cruz reminds me a lot of Frank Shamrock. He looks like him a little bit. And I think Cruz, if he could stay healthy, could make this division a big division, because the fact it has huge fights on the horizon with Uriah Faber, a Dillashaw rematch, you know, he is the original, he is the guy who hasn't lost, and I just think his style, his brace, is something that people could really respect. Now, if Dillashaw runs through Cruz and Uriah Faber, then he's a top three fighter probably in the world, and he's a guy that you can definitely market. The fact that this fight is on Fox Sports 1 shows me the UFC is trying to push Fox, but it also shows me maybe the UFC is smartly trying to market these guys, because it's two guys who should be stars. And I think eventually, if TJ Dillashaw loses this fight or wins this fight, loses the Uriah, have him fight Joseph Benavidez in a, you know, catchweight fight. Have him fight Chad Mendez in a catchweight fight. I think a big storyline would be TJ Dillashaw, you know, fighting Mighty Mouse, or the winner of this fight fighting Mighty Mouse eventually. So those are all fights in the future potentially, but also just TJ Dillashaw trying to run through Team Alpha Male in a rivalry that can be built up, like Domi versus, you know, Shootbox, you know, Sakuraba versus the Gracies. UFC, you know, they have to remember there was a time they were struggling. And they built up that Tito Ortiz-Ken Shamrock fight at UFC 40 perfectly by having Tito Ortiz fight Lion's Den guys. They have to remember the way they used to build fights up, and I think they're starting the year off with a beautiful, beautiful event. Just to get through the event real quick, of course, the main event, like I said, championship fight, bantamweight title. It's going to be big. As much as I want to go for TJ Dillashaw, I really don't because I don't like the guy. I'm taking Dominic Cruz. I think that TJ Dillashaw is a fake, a phony. I really want to see him win so he could fight Uriah Faber. Hopefully, you know, they make that fight anyway. But I think the Decisionator comes back and gets the decision, probably wins 3 rounds out of the 2 rounds, maybe, you know, 4 rounds out of the fight. I think he dominates with his footwork, and I just think he's a little too intelligent for TJ Dillashaw. But, you know, I see this definitely going to the decision because the UFC really needs it too. The co-main event, Eddie Alvarez, Anthony Pettis, the UFC in Boston. Last time they were in Boston, last 2 times, you couldn't have asked for better fireworks in the card. You know, the first time was a Chael Sonnen Shogun with Conor McGregor on the card. The other one was Conor McGregor, Dennis Seaver. This co-main event is huge. Eddie Alvarez desperately needs a win. Anthony Pettis desperately needs a win. And both guys are known for just having exciting fights. Especially Eddie Alvarez. Look back at the Dream fights in Japan. Look back at his Bellator fights, his Michael Chandler fights. He's going to be exciting on the feet, on the ground, no matter where he is. And it's just a perfectly set up matchup. And the UFC, once again, is using the lightweight division to kind of bail him out on live TV because you pretty much know, like Nate Diaz-Johnson, that this fight is going to be exciting. Could it end up being one-rounded? I don't think so. I think these guys are pretty well matched. I know Pettis was a former champion, but at lightweight, everyone becomes champion at one time. I won't be surprised to see Eddie Alvarez get back in the mix at some point. But I really want to pick Eddie here. It's tough. I'm going to go ahead and take Pettis by points. I think Eddie Alvarez will just be a little bit outclassed. And I do think Pettis is one of the best lightweights in the world, and he just ran into a monster. Eddie Alvarez, not a good UFC run so far. This will not be good for his UFC run. And really, the guy I think could have built up a huge following in Bellator. We'll talk more about that later. To get through some more of this card, Travis Brown versus Matt Mitrione. This is that heavyweight fight the UFC loves putting on their Fox event that they pretty much know is going to be a knockout. Travis Brown, usually I would say, you know, this could end up being a boring fight, but Brown usually doesn't have boring fights. The guy even got knocked out by Andre Arlovsky in one of the most exciting fights I've ever seen. He's going to go out there, he's going to throw everything he has, and he's going to gas out, probably the first or second round. Matt Mitrione is one of the best athletes in the heavyweight division, but he's just not all there as a fighter or mentally stable, in my opinion. But Matt Mitrione, I think, is more well-rounded. Somehow Travis Brown can just make better runs in the heavyweight division and get better knockouts and get brain tired than Matt Mitrione. But I can see Matt Mitrione out-wrestling Brown. Clearly on the stand-up, either of them can knock each other out. But I think Brown desperately needs this fight, and I think Matt Mitrione usually crumbles under pressure. So I feel like Brown will get a desperation knockout after a huge brawl. Probably that will last about 3 minutes, and then Brown will land a big strike to once again get him out of trouble and keep his UFC career alive. The last fight on the main card, which I don't love them putting this fight on here, Ross Pearson versus Francisco Trinidad. I don't care about that fight. I love the Patrick Cote versus Ben Saunders fight, though, on the prelims. Gotta love that fight, starting at 8 o'clock on Sports 1. Ben Saunders, former Bellator fighter, then Killer B. Saunders, even Warman Wright actually said he thinks he is the best stand-up in MMA. Patrick Cote, we all know him. He's even fought Tito Ortiz for a light heavyweight title. Patrick Cote, back, a legend. Never really had a legendary win or anything. It's just been around forever. I got to go for Ben Saunders. I think that, you know, he'll get pretty swift knockout on the old man Patrick Cote in an exciting main event on the prelims. The rest of the prelims, I got my boy Chris Wade, former guy I interviewed. He looks like he has a pretty easy fight. I think he'll definitely win it. Other than that, there's not a lot I really think is worth talking about on this card. Let's see. You got some good fight pass stuff. Bruce Shanks is on there. Maximum Blanco, probably one of the worst fights I've ever seen. Tim Bosch versus Ed Herman. Not a lot of great fights. Really, to me, this fight, you know, it's a three-fight card. I'm looking forward to those three main events, and I think it's definitely a great way to kick off the year. Cruz versus Dillashaw couldn't end up being one of the best, you know, trilogies in, Bantamweight history. We'll see how the fight goes. I got the Decisionator winning, and we'll see how Uriah Faber plays into it when you know he's going to be at ringside. Also, this weekend, we got Deontay Wilder finally returning to the ring, and excuse me, folks, lighting my cigar. Wilder's finally returning to the ring. He's finally taking on a credible opponent. He's doing the first heavyweight title fight in Brooklyn, which is going to be really cool to see in a really long time. And, of course, this is under Al Heyman's wing of PBC Boxing. I believe it's probably on Showtime. These are the kind of fights I don't get why they're not on CBS, heavyweight title fight. Finally, you know, a decent opponent in Brooklyn. But I hope it's on CBS for the sake of PBC, because it would be so stupid to put it on Showtime. But Wilder is fighting Spitzka, Artur Spitzka, a guy who definitely has been through the rings. He's fought in a lot of good fighters. He's proven. He's definitely a guy who's going to bring a war to Wilder. And don't forget, he is Polish. So you are going to have a loud Splits the crowd there. Is that going to throw Wilder off being the fan favorite, basically, because we all know Mr. Wilder, he loves himself. He loves himself, like kind of like a huge version of Floyd Mayweather that doesn't fight anything like Floyd Mayweather. But he does love himself, and this is really his second biggest challenge behind Romain Stiverne. But Stiverne really didn't show up in that fight. He let Wilder, with all his hands down, just jab him from across the ring. Wilder's going to have to show up. The knockout version of Wilder is going to have to show up, because this is the kind of fight, when a guy has been fighting bums for his last couple fights, it's getting real cocky, and he's getting a following behind him, and all of a sudden all of his boys are talking in his ear like he was the next Mike Tyson. He comes out and he gets hit really hard. He gets knocked down. He gets up. He can't lift his arms that much. All of a sudden, the ring's spinning. There's 2 minutes left in the round. And then it's reaching into your gut and saying, how tough am I? So we're going to get to find out how tough Deontay Wilder is. I don't think Deontay Wilder is good enough at this point in his career, just the style on Spitzka. And if he does, then he proved something to a lot of boxing fans. Because Al Heyman did something that I don't think any promoter has ever done in boxing. He made Deontay Wilder's doctor, winning a heavyweight title against a top contender, go down in 2015 by fighting two bumps and almost getting beat up by one of the bumps. It was a complete embarrassment. And let me say this. If Wilder does not fight Povetkin, who in my opinion is the true heavyweight champ of one of these belts, after all the guys Povetkin has knocked out straight, and don't forget, Povetkin's management company has said that they will buy, they will make a bid that Wilder's management will not be able to beat to get the rights for this fight to have it in Russia. And Wilder said, bring it, I'll go to Russia. I'll go anywhere to fight. So Wilder needs to step up and start backing up his words. If he wins this fight, immediately they should book Povetkin, and Wilder should fight Povetkin. Because if you beat Stutzka, that's your step up. Then it's time to start playing with the big boys. You go into that bracket of the Tyson Furies, Povetkins, and you start fighting top five fighters. It's one thing the first year if your heavyweight title run. It's another thing to have the heavyweight title 3 years and never fight anyone in the top five. You cannot do that. I don't think any heavyweight champion has ever done that. I think Wilder definitely will get tested in this fight. I could smell an upset coming from a mile away, but I think late into the fight, at some point, Wilder's athleticism and his power will finally come out, and he'll be able to get that knockout he needs over Stutzka, because I think Stutzka will get over-aggressive after winning a few rounds. He'll bloody Wilder up, and then I think Wilder will be a very scared man, as he probably will be forced into a Povetkin fight, and that's where we'll really see Wilder either use his reach in his boxing or get destroyed. Because Deontay Wilder, to me, he showed a lot of his boxing abilities against Bermaine Stiverne, but he did not show an ability to mix his boxing abilities with his brawling abilities, to mix his knockout power with his boxing. He either goes into boxer mode and uses his jab, or he goes into brawler mode. You got to be able to mix both things in. That's one thing I see with Anthony Joshua. He'll go into that Mike Tyson, George Foreman mode, but then he'll forget about his jab. He's a young kid. Wilder's 40 fights in. He needs to learn how to mix everything together, and we'll see what happens this weekend. But I got Wilder in about the 10th round, TKO or KO of Stutzka. Co-main event, Charles Martin, 6'6", American. Pretty good prospect. I don't get why this IBF title fight is happening. I understand they stripped Tyson Fury, but why these guys are fighting, this does not make sense to me. Charles Martin will be taking on Glaskov. Glaskov, of course, beat Adamack. I believe he beat Steve Cunningham in a controversial fight. Charles Martin, 6'6", American. Who knows, you know, maybe he'll be the guy while other fights next instead of Povetkin. Maybe Martin will turn into, you know, the next superstar. I don't know. I haven't got to see him, watch him enough. But we could have two champions no matter what comes out of this fight under the Al Haymon banner. And that's a little bit scary. And it's a little sad because I was looking forward to seeing King Kong, you know, Luis over there, the Cuban and Golden Boy, fight for a title. Hopefully Tyson Fury will take that fight. But I don't know a ton about these guys. I usually would take Glasgow, the Europeans, because the history of how Americans do in these kind of things. But I'm going to take Charles Martin. He's an Olympian, 6'6", southpaw. I don't think it'll be a very exciting fight, but judging off of Glasgow's last performances, it's going to go into the decision, and we'll see how the judges take it. And that's going to be our heavyweight fights. But wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We got the return of the Haymaker. Without the cornrows, he's going to have the afro, and David Hay will be fighting Mark Matori or something like that. He's an Australian. He's been talking a shit ton. He's been talking a lot about how he's going to knock out David Hay. He also has weird, kind of like a rat tail blonde rat tail that goes all the way down his back. I just can't wait to see that on live stream. It's in the O2 Arena, so there's so much for David Haye fighting in America. But David Haye, with a new trainer, says that he's keeping on his bulk. He's no longer cutting down like Adam Booth had him do. In David Haye's career, I really only saw him, other than that one loss in cruiserweight, with Adam Booth, I saw him not perform one time, and that was the Vladimir Klitschko fight. And I think he was just completely scared. I think Vladimir played the mind games and beat him. I think David Haye, psychologically sometimes, psychs himself out of fights. I think he psyched himself out of the Tyson Fury fight. I think he knew he could beat Chisora. I feel like when he knows he can beat a guy, he's unstoppable. He looks like the best heavyweight in the world. When he has a guy that's bigger than him or, you know, a huge guy in front of him, I think he gets a little bit scared. I think it's that cruiserweight in him. But this is not that kind of guy. They handpicked the perfect opponent, a guy with MMA. He's going to talk and brawl, getting David Haye about 4 or 5 rounds, and the haymaker will unleash brutal beating on this guy. But that's what heavyweight boxing needs. We need a little bit of David Haye in our life. And, you know, British boxing, got to give them their credit. They're doing their thing over there. David Haye definitely needs to fight Tyson Fury, but now Tyson Fury doesn't want that fight. I just said it, Wilder Povetkin needs to happen. But I think David Haye, before he fights for a title, unless, you know, he does fight for that IBF title, which is a huge possibility, I believe he's trying to go for a WBA title. But before he fights for a title, let's take some warm-up fights. I think the first fight, you know, this is a great first fight. And I think he should fight Chris Areola. Give the Nightmare a big-time fight before the guy retires. Who doesn't want to see those two guys brawl? I certainly do. I think it'll be an exciting fight to watch. And then David Haye, I think he should go back to Britain and fight Tyson Fury. And if that doesn't happen, if Wilder or Povetkin can have the belt, then I think one of them should go to the UK and fight David Haye. Or third option, the winner of Charles Martin versus Glaskov should go to the UK, fight David Haye if he knocks out this opponent quickly, and gives him a belt so we can have a little tournament or something to unite all these belts, maybe Wilder versus Povetkin and Haye versus Fury, and Anthony Joshua eventually coming on and fighting for the unified championship. Let's unify these belts. And if we're not going to unify these belts, let's get them in exciting heavyweight hands. This way, every couple of months, we can have big-time heavyweight fights. I want to see fights like Luis versus Jennings every couple of months this year in the heavyweight division. Now, ladies and gentlemen, last 15 minutes, I will be breaking down what is to come this year in MMA. So I've already went over the UFC Fight Night card. It's an exciting card. I'm really just going to be breaking down some of the bigger, news, kind of things, bigger fights coming up. In this year to come, of course, we just got the news that UFC 197 will probably be one of the biggest UFC cards of all time. BJ Penn could be coming back on this 197 card, just to add a little spin to it, and fight Nick Lentz at lightweight. Nick Lentz, called BJ Penn out or something. Something happened, but hey, all these people that are hating on BJ Penn, I wouldn't mind seeing him come back and fight Nick Lentz. Let BJ fight if BJ wants to fight. And I would really love to see BJ and, you know, the Ryan Edwards favorite, Bellator Fighting Championship. But moving on, if that fight takes place on UFC 197, we'll add even more spice, because right now we already have Eric Silva fighting on the card. You know, he's going to bring a little brawl. But the main event, co-main event, is really what makes this one of the biggest events of all time. Conor McGregor will get his Frankie Edgar title defense and will be going up to lightweight to fight Rafael Dos Anjos. Rafael Dos Anjos is a guy who has made mincemeat out of his competition at lightweight since getting into the title picture. This is a guy, PEDs, that all of a sudden became a monster in MMA. I'm just saying, he needs to be PED tested. He's looking like a 155 version of Vitor Belfort when he was on his run. But in my opinion, this gives Conor McGregor the biggest balls in UFC history. He could have made the same amount of money going up and fighting Nick Diaz. 10-time easier fight, probably made more money, and gotten an easy, not easy, but a hard-fought victory. But instead, he not only, you know, probably is going to keep his 145-pound belt, which Dana White said, nope, you're not going to do. And Conor said, fuck you, I am this promotion. But he is going up to fight one of the scariest lightweights he's seen in the UFC since BJ Penn was on that three-fight streak where he was just licking his gloves and beating guys to death. I mean, RDA is a scary dude. Cowboy Cerrone looked like an amateur fighter. He beat him in like 55 seconds. Cowboy just gave up. You've never seen that happen. And Conor McGregor either is the most confident guy in the world, he is this good, we do call him Bruce Lee on this show, or him and his trainers know he's better at 155, something that maybe we don't know because he was a champion at 155. And, you know, they think that they see weaknesses in RDA. I think this could be a little bit more, and now they're coming out and saying in 2017, Conor will fight for a welterweight title. I think Conor could be an all-time great, but I think this was a bad decision by Conor's management team and the UFC. I think it's a historic night. We'll finally get a super fight. We've been waiting for so long. I don't know why Dana White was trying to deny it. I'm sorry, Frankie Edgar. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings. Fight Max Holloway. Make some money. Stay active. Don't just sit on the shelf. Be ready for Conor McGregor at UFC 200. Conor McGregor, this could be the fight he ends up losing. And if he loses, I just hope it's not in a beatdown fashion like Cowboy Cerrone. I hope he puts up at least a 4 or 5 round war. Conor McGregor has to just get through this fight and lose by decision in a war to keep